A sicha, when we're far away from each other, it's hard for me to talk about Yushalayim, and I'm not going to because I can't do it justice. In other words, and I feel a little bit, I feel a little guilty because I could talk about it, and I could talk about what Yom Yushalayim is in a normal Yom Yushalayim, but we're not experiencing that, and it's kind of just like a tease. If I were to, to share with you what it's like when you're at in Yushalayim and what all these things are like, on these days, it's I feel guilty doing it. I feel like it's like not appropriate, but I think one we should just recognize a little bit the concept that 53 years ago we couldn't go to the Kotel whenever we wanted to. We could not go to places in Yushalayim. It was not free to. It was not ours, to be honest with you. And the ability to be in Yerushalayim, to travel, to see the Kotel, to daven at the Kotel, is a tremendous chus that our generation, for some reason, Hashem gave our generation this chus. Why are we deserving this chus? I don't know, but we have this chus, and it's something that we should appreciate and recognize. The last announcement I want to make is I just want to clue you in on a Sunday's program and schedule. We're not having regular yeshiva on Sunday because of an absolutely magnificent initiative that was organized fundamentally by Yeshivat HaKotel, but the Vayichan.com initiative, which basically is a 4.5 hour, 5 hour learning opportunities with everyone and anyone. There's the if you've seen the flyers. You've seen it's Gedolei Yisrael of all stripes, Rabbanim from all stripes, from all camps, and the idea that everyone's coming together, on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, which is the time of, we're gearing towards Kabbalah Satorah. The message of Kabbalah Satorah is Vayichan Ha'am, and it's Vayichan in the singular, where we're all Ki'ish Echad B'Lev Echad, and that idea of using opportunities to come together, to learn Torah, and to have kind of all of our divisions that so often define us and divide us, to drop those divisions and come together as a unified people, to learn Torah together right before Shavuos, is something that we as a yeshiva feel is really important that you guys take advantage of, and we're more than willing to drop our regular shiurim so that you have the opportunity to hear people, you don't always get to hear all the Rabbanim HaRashiyim, Rav Schechter, Rav Willig, Rav Asher Weiss, you name it. I don't even want to, Rav Zev Leff. It's like a whole, it's too hard to choose, like who you're going to listen to, but something that you should definitely take advantage of. Okay, I'll begin, and I have a few thoughts that I want to share with you. I want to talk a little bit about Parshas Bamidbar. I want to talk a little bit about Kabbalah Satorah, and I want to talk a little bit about some feelings that I'm having right now as living in Israel and kind of as I transition in a certain way, as I'll describe. The Netziv, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, in his Perish al HaTorah, Chumash HaEmek Davar, every sefer he opens up with a short little psicha, with an introduction to kind of highlight what the Sefer is really about, and some highlights about the Sefer. And in Sefer Bamidbar, he identifies that Chazal gave it special name, and gave it a name, just like every Sefer has a special name. Bereishis is Sefer HaYetzirah, and Sefer Shmos is Sefer HaGeulah. So Chumash Bamidbar is known by Chazal, Gemara in Sota, Daf Lamed Vav, as Chumash HaPekudim, which literally means, if I were to translate that into English, it's called the Book of Numbers, the Book of Sensei, of censuses, where Klal Yisrael gets counted. And in this parsha, Bamidbar, we have a census, where Bnei Yisrael gets counted. Every shevet, every member of the shevet gets counted from 20 to 60, Hayotzei Tzava, etc. And we're going to do it again. In about 10, 11 weeks' time, we're going to do it again in Parshas Pinchas, and we're going to once again count Bnei Yisrael. And because of these two counts of the Jewish people, we call the Sefer HaPekudim, Chumash HaPekudim. It Siv points out that there's a lot of interesting things in Sefer Bamidbar. The Meraglim is in Sefer Bamidbar. Korach is in Sefer Bamidbar. The whole 39-year travels in the Midbar is all here. And for some reason, you know, the parts of the Chumash that we, you and I, might like be most likely to fall asleep during, to find like the most uninteresting, these detailed countings of the Shvatim and how they're organized, etc., that's what we're going to name the Sefer after. That's the question that the Netziv is coming to answer. In a couple of lines, he brings a fundamental and core yesod, which is so relevant to things that I feel I'm going through. I'm sure you're going through as well. He says that the reason that the book is called, the Sefer is called the Book of Numbers, the Chumash HaPekudim, is at its core fundamentally because the Pekudim, the sensei, are the pivotal, if you will, turning points of the Sefer. Because in this Sefer spans 39 years. And the first census is here in the beginning of the Parsha, which tells us we're counting the Jews that left Mitzrayim. This is the door that left Mitzrayim. These are the generations. They're supposed to march right into Eretz Yisrael. That got derailed significantly by chet after chet after chet. We'll talk about that in a future week. But the first count is the door Hayotzei Mimitzrayim. 39 years later, we're going to have another count. And that's going to be a brand new generation. And the generation that left Mitzrayim is all going to die out. It's dying out in the Midbar, slow process, but person after person, until the entire generation expires and a new generation emerges. And the second generation is going to go into Eretz Yisrael. That's the generation, the Dor HaNichnas L'Eretz Yisrael. And that's represented by the second count. And that second count is going to happen in Parshas Pinchas. And that's going to be the harbinger of bringing Bnei Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, leading into Sefer Devarim, which is going to be Moshe Rabbeinu's soliloquy to the Jewish people as they march, as they're about to march and conquer the land of Israel. And the Netziv points out that these two generations are so fundamentally different. They're so radically different. Because the generation of the Yotzei Mitzrayim, the generation of that left Mitzrayim, they saw incredible things. They saw and they lived a life of miracles. They saw Eser Makos in Mitzrayim. They saw Kriyas Yamsuf. They never had to worry about food because they got man every single day in the Midbar except for Shabbos. They didn't have to worry about their clothing because their clothing did not wear out. They didn't have to worry about enemies because when an Amalek attacked them, supernaturally, Amalek gets defeated. And they have an Esh Balaila, and they have an Anan during the daytime that protects them as they live a supernatural existence, an unnatural existence of tremendous and unique Hashgachas Hashem. And that was the generation that left Mitzrayim. And then that generation, because of the Cheir HaMeraglim and other things along the way, is not going to make it. Is not going to make it. And a new generation is born in the Midbar. And that generation is going to be charged with a new task. And that task is going to be to go into Eretz Yisrael. And to go into Eretz Yisrael and take weaponry, real weapons, and conquer the land and conquer the people there. And it already starts again at the end of the Sefer where they conquer Sichon and Moab in a natural type of war. And they're supposed to take plowshares and picks and the like and farm the land and not have man falling down from heaven, but to do it in a real and regular and natural way. And they're supposed to sew clothing and pick cotton and do the regular things that we're supposed to do. And indeed, that is the Ratzon Hashem. The Ratzon Hashem is when we go into Eretz Yisrael, we live a quote-unquote real life. Not miraculous, not supernatural, where, yes, there's Hashgachas Hashem, but it's fundamentally built on normalcy, on Hishtadlus, on our efforts and a regular Derech HaTeva type of existence. And says the Netziv, these are the two generations. There's the door of Or, the door of miracle. That's the door Hayotzei Mitzrayim that we see in the Midbar. And then there is the generation that graduates from that and is going to enter into Eretz Yisrael and is going to live through a very natural process. And I think about this idea. And then I think about kind of where, at least in Israel, I'm not sure exactly where things are at in the United States, but in Israel, we are experiencing something right now, the past couple of weeks and going ahead, even the past couple of days. We're experiencing, I will call it a pretty fast, pretty aggressive movement towards normalcy. And we've been living a corona lifestyle for 10, 11, 12 weeks of quarantine, of no shul, of no school, of working from home, of no stores, of no, none of the normal things that we do. And slowly over the past, and not so slowly, but over the past month, and certainly over the past 2 weeks, and over the past couple of days, Israel, and the world is following, and the United States is getting there too, is starting to open up. And in the past 2 weeks, schools have opened up. Businesses, the Shuk, Machane Yehuda, opened up. Yesterday, shuls in Israel have opened up. Again, with restrictions, social distancing, masks, all of the rules, but things are moving pretty fast towards a quote unquote normalcy. Not real normalcy, because we're still wearing our masks and we're still social distancing, but towards a sense of normalcy. And as for the first time, I'm anticipating, I've been davening now for the past, since Pesach, I've been davening on my street, in an outdoor minyan of 10, 12 people who live on our block. Haven't missed a minyan, Baruch Hashem, but Shabbos morning will be the first time that I'm going to be back in shul. Al pi derech hateva, I plan on going back to shul Shabbos morning. And, you know, maybe at some point back to a Beis Medrash and back to normal, so to speak. And as I think about this, and I think about this Netziv, I think, yeah, what is Hashem's mission? What's Hashem's message in the Dor HaMidbar into the door that goes into Eretz Yisrael? So I believe, certainly, Hashem wants us to live normal. He does not want to live us to live a life of Midbar, a life of quarantine, a life of man falling down from heaven. That was a blip in world history. He wants normal. However, there is something very inspiring and very profound and very meaningful about a special God-centricness that exists when you're in the Midbar. When you have nothing around you, no other people, no noise, no service, nothing to distract you in Midbar, and you can focus on that which you're supposed to focus on. There's something very uplifting about that, very powerful about that. And perhaps for those 39 years, for those 40 years, we're supposed to get something on a national genetic level that we will carry with us when we go into normal, when we go back to normal. And at least for me, what I have seen, again, I know there's been a lot of suffering, and I don't want to downplay that at all. There's been a lot of, especially in our community, in the Jewish Orthodox community, there's been a lot of suffering, a lot of sorrows, a lot of unfortunate deaths, sicknesses, and it's been very, very challenging, very difficult. For those, Baruch Hashem, who have not suffered as significantly, what I do see on a global level, and certainly I'm experiencing it, is I believe there's a much more intense God-centricness that exists when you're in a corona life. What do I mean by that? I mean, I think we're more focused on Hashem. I know I am. There's a greater Hashem focusness. When we have our normalcy, we're in shul 3 times a day. We're perhaps learning all day, but perhaps not always, even in shul, thinking as much about Hashem as we ought to be. And when we're in this situation, atzara, where people are worried about health, they're worried about parnasa, they're worried about what will be. So we turn to Hashem and we seek meaning from Hashem and we seek answers from Hashem and we become more Hashem-centric. I'm on these WhatsApps and the unbelievable, unbelievable Harbatzas HaTorah that's going on an international level where you can hear shiurim from everyone, and it's all accessible, it's all available. And the fact that even organizations have made their content free and available, and Rabbanim, and the Shiurim. And on the one hand, we're stuck We're stuck at home. We're stuck in this unnatural place. On the other hand, the opportunities that being stuck has given us in terms of, again, Torah learning, opportunities to connect to Gdolei Yisrael and their Shiurim. Our davening can be much more personalized because it's not institutionalized in shul. And it can be my tefillah, my hespodidus, my davening, because I don't have to keep up with the pace of a minyan or the timing of a minyan. I can do it, I can make it mine. And that, on the one hand, could be risky. Risky when we don't have the institutional support. On the other hand, it can be tremendously empowering and tremendously uplifting. And I would posit to you, and as I think about going back to normal, going back to shul, there's something that I've experienced personally that's been very, very meaningful and very special over the past 10, 11 weeks. The ability to, again, think about Hashem much more than I otherwise do. The fact that there is a fragility that we feel. People feel in their parnassus, people feel in their health, people just looking over their shoulders so much more. I was in an elevator today. And yes, you're conscious of the people you're on an elevator with. And are we wearing our masks? Are we always, we're just much more aware of everything. There's an awareness, and awareness means sensitivity. Sensitivity to other people, sensitivity to Hashem, sensitivity to Torah, to our essence of who we are. And again, what I wanted to bring up and share is, as again, in this part of the world where I'm sitting, we are definitely creeping towards normal, and we hope it'll stay normal. We don't know, but we hope it will. And as we do, though, I think it's important. And perhaps as you guys kind of finish your move towards your end of your year of yeshiva, at least your unusual year, but we'll call it your year of yeshiva, it's really important to take stock and to capture in a real way. We had a discussion this morning in my pre-shiur about thinking about how our weddings should be. Since we can't have normal weddings, Corona, 50-person wedding, 20-person wedding, 100-person wedding, is the 400, 500-person wedding, $100,000 wedding, that standard, is that the right standard? Is that what we should be striving for? Is that what we should be about? Think about how many of us, our lives, were so sports-centric. How sports-centric we sometimes are, and all of a sudden, hey, I survived 12 weeks without any professional sports. And I survived. I managed to live and actually enjoy life. That's like eye-opening. That's eye-opening. And I think we have to really think as they're talking, sports leagues opening up, community schools opening up, everything's slowly starting to open up. I would really recommend take some time. I spoke about the end of the year Dear Andre letter. I would also take some time to write a perhaps creeping out of Corona letter. And what I've gained, how I've grown, what I feel is important to take away. Because if we go back to shul, whenever that might be, in 2 weeks' time, in one day's time, in a month's time, whenever it is, when we go back to shul, if shul is the same thing it was when we left, a place where we can congregate, we can pay lip service to the Ribono Shel Olam, to davening, hang out with friends, and check our phones during Chazaras HaShatz, if that's what our shul goes back to, then we've missed a core lesson of the coronavirus. If our anything is exactly the same, if we have the ability to have frontal shiurim and we don't fully tap into the koach of a frontal Torah, as much as Zoom Torah can be valuable and choshev, but to go ahead and appreciate and gedolei Yisrael that we can have access to and contemplation, hisbodus, but the point is Hashem centricity. And if we can somehow figure out how to capture that Hashem centricity that I hope we have now, and to bring it with us as we leave the midbar that we find ourselves in. And again, I really hope we're able to leave. And we're able to leave because Hashem wants us to live normal. But He also wants us to learn the Midbar lessons. And that's the core idea I wanted to share with you. There's a lot more to talk about. I wanted to, talk a little bit about Kabbalah HaTorah and what Midbar represents. But I'll leave it with just one last idea. You know, Chazal tell us that the Torah was given in the Midbar because a Midbar is Hefker. No one owns a Midbar. Everyone belongs, has a place. You can grab Midbar. And Midbar, if you think about it, a desert, it's a weird place for the Torah to have been given. Weird place. There's nothing going on in a desert. But maybe that's exactly the point. There is nothing going on in a desert. In a desert, there are no stadiums. In a desert, there are no buildings. There's no business in a desert. There's no sound in a desert. There's no service in a desert. There is nothing distracting in a desert. So when you're in a desert, imagine you call out in a desert. How far does that sound travel? Nothing stops it. There's nothing there. There's no trees there to stop it. There's no buildings there to stop it. There's nothing to stop the sound from penetrating and going and going and going. A desert's an amazing place because it's a place you can really, really hear. And that's exactly where the Torah was given. The Torah was given in a place where everything could be heard and the Dvar Hashem could be heard. Western culture, Western society, is a society that emphasizes sight, that which can be seen. Torah culture is about that which can be heard. It's interesting, even language reflects itself in that way. When you get an idea in English, you say, I see what you're saying. Ooh, that's an interesting insight that you have. Wow, that's a person who's a real visionary. He has vision. It's about sight. In Judaism, it's not sight. Ooh, I hear what you're saying. It's not mashma that way. Tell me a shmaitza. Ta shma. It's about hearing. It's about hearing. Because on some level, sight, that which is physical and can be seen, has a certain superficiality to it. It's too physical. It's too mamoshus. Something that is real spirit, you can't see it. You can hear it. You can feel it. It can penetrate. And Torah was given, and Sinai was about the you could hear so clearly the Dvar Hashem that you could actually see. You could. It was so clear. The sounds penetrated so deep, and that's really what Midbar offers. So I think if I could just tie this all together, my message for us all as we finish out. We come to the end of Chodesh Iyar. We enter into Chodesh Sivan. And we get ourselves, we're a week before Kabbalah HaTorah. And we're opening up Sefer Bamidbar. If I could share with you the message I would want to share with you, and I want you to hear, is, and to hear, yes, to hear, is take the lessons of the coronavirus. See the greatness of the Jewish people. How they've kind of figured out how to be Marbitz Torah. In such a dramatic way, how we can connect to Hashem even without a shul. But then when we go back to shul, when we go back to the Beis Medrash, Be'ez Hashem, it should come soon. When we go back to normal, which is where we're supposed to be at the right time. But to draw the lessons, to draw the Hashem-centricness that we hopefully have developed some more during this Corona period of our lives, this 10-12 weeks of Corona, and bring that as we hopefully get back to a more normal existence and bring that into that sense of normalcy. want to wish everyone a beautiful, beautiful Shabbos Kodesh and a productive Sunday as well.